sermon a little bit. In chapter 6, he's talking about the inward man, the inner disciple. But Jesus is not only interested in our inner lives, but he's also interested in how we interact and how we respond to those around us. So that's where he's going here in chapter 7. In chapter 6, he talks about how we should give, how we should love, how we should fast, those kind of things. But now he's talking about how we should interact with our fellow man. Now, this passage of Scripture is probably one of the most misunderstood Scriptures in the Bible. But let's read the first two verses here in chapter 7. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Now, that is probably one of the most quoted Scriptures in all the Bible. I know it's the most quoted Scripture with people who are unchurched. I mean, they'll pull that verse out and throw it up in your face anytime they feel like you're kind of encroaching on their lifestyle. They'll say, Jesus said, do not judge. Don't judge. I dare you judge me. But in reality, Jesus is not implying that as Christians we should live our lives without making some type of moral assessment to those around us. Now, how do I know that? Well, because if you continue to read on down in verse 20, and we won't get that far tonight, we don't have the time for it, but if you read down into verse 20, Jesus says that we are to not only evaluate ourselves, but we are to evaluate those around us, and he compares it to the fruit on a tree. He said, you'll know the fruit or the tree by the fruit that it's bearing. Now, if I go over to Charles' house in his backyard, and he has some fruit trees back there, I don't see very well. I'd have to say, Charles, I'm going to go look at them. I'd say, yeah, now this is an apple tree. This is a peach tree. It would take some type of assessment on my part to determine that. But people misunderstand this verse. They think that we should never make any moral assessment of those around us, but it's just simply not true. But what it does teach us, it's not telling us not to be aware of the sin and lives of people that we're friends with, but it does tell us not to judge it in the way that we normally do. We're not to be condescending. We're not to be holier than thou. We're not to have that kind of attitude, but that's normally what we tend to do. Now, I read a thing from my brother told me about this guy. His name is David Guzik. And he's a pastor out in California. And he has a blog and a post several things. And he has some very good commentary. And I looked through some of his stuff. And there was some things that stuck out to me. Now, he had a whole list. I don't have but five things wrote down here. But there's five ways that I want us to look at how we break that commandment. The first one, we break the commandment that Jesus is talking about when we think the worst of other people. Have you ever been guilty of that? Somebody will come up to you and they'll start telling you a story about somebody and you'll say, yeah, I knew it. I knew it. I knew that guy couldn't be trusted. I knew given the right opportunity that guy would fall. We tend to do that. But the second way we break the commandment is when we speak to other people only about their faults. Now, I don't care to share this with this group because nobody in here knows my sister. It might be a couple. But I have a sister who's an alcoholic. And I found myself, every time I was talking to her, I was saying things like, still drinking those booze? You know, you're ruining your liver. You know, what kind of example are you setting for your kids, Phyllis? Why don't you quit that stuff? You know what? She don't call me much. You know what? I don't blame her. But not only do we speak to people only about their faults and think the worst of people, but we also judge people. We judge their entire life based on one mistake. Now, I want to ask you a question. Nobody shout out an answer, probably not going to, but I do want you to think about it. I want you to think about the three worst things you have ever done. Now, I'll give you a few moments to kind of wheel them around in your minds, kind of bring them up to the surface. It didn't take me very long. It may take some of you a little longer. Have you got them? Now let me ask you something. How would you like for your life to be judged on those three things? I wouldn't. But we tend to do that. But there's another way. We also fail to put ourselves in other people's circumstances. You know, we'll see somebody, some failure, and we don't give them any benefit of the doubt. We don't try to put ourselves in their place. And they'll say, you hear people say, you know, you won't ever catch me doing that. Well, you better be careful. Or you'll hear somebody say, well, you know, me and my wife, we won't ever get a divorce. You better be careful. Now listen, you may have determined in your mind that no matter what happens in your marriage, that you're going to see it through. But I want to tell you, your spouse may not have determined that. We need to be careful. We need to sometimes step back and say, you know, what would we have done in that same situation? And oftentimes we'll find that we'd have done the same thing, and many times we'd find that we'd done something worse. So we need to be careful that way. We also break this command of judging when we fail to realize that we too one day will stand before a holy God. All your idle thoughts, all your idle words, every desire you've ever had, every lustful moment you've ever had, all that one day is going to be opened up and poured out before the throne of God. And I'm ashamed to tell you, I got a pretty big pile. But we all need to realize that we too one day will stand before an holy God. Now, I know I've already asked you one question, but I want to ask you another one. Is it possible to love others and hate their sin? It is. You know how I know? Because we all do it every day. You know what? I'm pretty fond of O'Keefe. I tend to give Keith the benefit of the doubt. I tend to be very forgiving to Keith. I tend to pour a lot of grace on Keith's sin. But what we tend to do is that if Brother Charlie sins, I want to apply grace to him by the teaspoon. But when we sin, we want to use a shovel and just keep piling it on. We say, you know, Brother Charlie, he don't deserve much grace. But we want to take all the grace for ourselves. We think somehow that our sin is less appalling to God than somebody else's sin. We think we have an excuse for our sin, but we never think anybody else does. We need to be careful with that. Greg Horn, he lived in the 18th century. Now, I forget exactly what he was. He was some type of bishop, but I don't remember what he was. But he has a great quote, and let me read it to you. We are neither to hate the men on account of the vices they practice, nor to love the vices for the sake of the men who practice them. I'm going to read it again. We are neither to hate the men on account of the vices they practice, nor to love the vices for the sake of the men who practice them. Now, what is he saying? He is saying that we are to show unconditional love, but we do not have to show unconditional approval. Now, that is a big problem in the world that we live in. The world wants to tell you and me, if I love you, you will accept me for who I am, sin and all. And if you don't do that, then you truly don't love me. But listen, that is not what the Bible teaches. We need to be concerned with that. And that's being taught in a lot of places, folks. Now we're going to move on. Let's look at the next three verses. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye. Then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Now, anybody who thinks Jesus doesn't have a sense of humor, they've never read this, because it's graphic, but to me, it paints a funny picture. Can you imagine a guy walking around with a big beam stuck out his head? I mean, how's that guy going to help you? He's going to be knocking people down when he can't get close enough to you to help. But that's what we do. But I want you to notice something that goes right along with what we said a while ago. Jesus didn't say we shouldn't notice the speck. He said, yeah, examine the speck in your brother's eye. Notice his speck. But before you try to go get it out, get the log out of your own eye. See, we can't help nobody if we have unconfessed, unrepented of sin in our lives. What he's saying is, you know, Jerry, I see a little speck in your eye. Let me help you before that thing festers and turns into a log, because I'm speaking from experience. See, now you can help that guy. But that's not what we want to do. Now, let me tell you how I believe the outside world views the inside church. They see us up here railing against some type of sin. And I'm just going to use the sin of homosexuality. They see us railing against it. And we should be. It's sin. We ought to call sin, sin. Make no excuses for calling sin, sin. But they see us railing against it. But they go to school with our children. We see them at the softball fields. We might even take vacations with them. They know us. And they see inside our own walls, sometimes premarital sex, adultery even. And you know what they say? They say the same thing that Jesus said. You hypocrites. We need to be careful about that kind of thing. Now, I want to read the last verse. Now, I want to be honest with you. This is a hard verse for me. I don't pretend to understand this completely. But I'm going to read it to you anyways. Do not give what is holy to the dog. And do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Now, when I read that and thought about it, I thought about this. I could think of three types of people, and they may be more than three, but this is the three types of people that I thought of. Excuse me. They are those that are indifferent to the Word of God. You know, you can talk to them about the Bible, and they'll nod, yeah, I believe you. They don't care one way or the other. They might or might not go to church. You know, when they read God's Word or hear God's Word preached, it goes in one ear and out the other. They're just indifferent to it. It doesn't move them or motivate them or shake them in any way. They're indifferent to the Word of God. But there's another group that are receptive to the Word of God. I would call this group receptive to the Word of God. We have our antennas up. When we read God's Word, He speaks to us. He speaks to us. He changes our lives from within. He identifies and shows a sin in our life, and we try to shed off that sin daily. It moves us. It shakes us. It motivates us. That is the receptive people. But there is a third group of people. It's hard to believe for me. You know, I've lived a pretty sheltered lifestyle. I've never lived anywhere but Evergreen Road. But there is some people that is so wicked, so vile, so corrupt, that they are actually hostile to the Word of God. Now, I've never run across one of them. Hope I don't. But my brother told me a story just last week that when he was in seminary in Memphis, he was required to go out and witness on the streets two or three times a week. He was witness to one guy, and he said he turned on him. And he said, I was really afraid. He said, he cussed me, shook his finger at me, come at me. Now listen, the Bible talks about swine. You know, a swine is a hog. He talks about pearls. What are the pearls? The pearls are the Word of God. They're valuable. They're valuable. They're to be loved and adorned and to be appreciated. Now, probably nobody in here has ever been hog hunting but me, but maybe, I'm sure Jerry has. Now, this is not a good illustration, but it's the only one I got. One time, me and Sammy Andrews was hog hunting in South Alabama, and we were standing knee-deep in a swamp. And there was a big old hog out there. And Sammy swung his pearls at it through the rifle barrel. And he hit it. But it didn't do any good. And I don't remember if his gun jammed or if it was this last year, but my gun was leaned up against a tree. But that thing turned on us and come barreling down us, slinging mud and water, showing its teeth, and fell dead right at our feet, thankfully. Now, I know that's a poor illustration. But, folks, they are people that sometimes we get to say, okay, we can actually do more harm than good with that type of person. God may move them in another way later on. But sometimes we need to back up and just say, okay, I'm going to get my pearls and I'm going to present them to somebody who can appreciate them. Now, I know that's hard for us to understand. It's hard for me to understand. I don't understand it at all, really. But that's just what my thoughts are on that verse. Now, we just need to be careful, folks, that we are mindful that people are watching us and that our sin in our lives is just as appalling to God is somebody else's sin. But we tend, and I hate to admit it, and I don't want to, make you feel bad before you go home, but we don't tend to do that. We tend to look down over our glasses, down over our nose at them. We think their sin somehow worse than ours. But folks, it's not. But I want you to understand, and we're fixing to go home, I want you to understand that this verse does not teach us that we shouldn't be keenly aware of the people around us. We have to make moral assessment. That is not judging in the way that Jesus is talking about. So unless anybody's got anything, we'll go home. Well, let's pray. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I pray that it'll bless us and help us and mold us and shake us. And I thank you for the opportunity you've gave me, Lord, today to share it. And I pray that you'd be with us the rest of the week and you'd keep us safe. In Jesus' name.